Every time I turn the conversation to something deeper than the weather, I can feel you all but shutting down. And when I need an explanation for the silence, you just tell me you don't wanna talk about it now. What you're not saying is coming in loud and clear. We're at a crossroads here. If I'm not the one thing you can't stand to lose, if I'm not that arrow to the heart of you, if you don't get drunk, hold my keys. If you think you can do better than this, then I guess we're done.
Celebrating 30 years of broadcast excellence. The Evening Rush on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
David Clark in for Earl Ingram on the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. It is 5:05 p.m. Kira said, we think we just hit some turbulence.
I think that was it, absolutely.
But I think we can get you into country. I think...
You know, I do like a little country. It depends on, you know, the singer and what they're singing about. As long as it's Don't Tell My Heart, My Eggy Bread. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That was, though, a tribute in honor of our last guest, Joseph Phillips, who has a love for the cowboy spirit, Western movies, and country music. So that's what that was about. Anyway, as I mentioned before the break, President Obama delivers a huge speech tonight, 7 p.m. Central, on his strategy for the Afghanistan war moving forward. And it's going to be an uphill climb, as the news indicated. There are people within his own party that are not for this. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll get your take on what some of those recommendations are going to be. Do you support it? Do you not? Do you have heartache with some of it? But before we get into that, I want to talk about how we prepare Milwaukee for the 21st century. And really, this focuses around jobs. What do we do to put Milwaukee back to work? It's been said that the successful city of the future will have leadership that anticipates change and harnesses that change positively. And I'm wondering if that statement describes the city of Milwaukee currently, or does this describe Milwaukee's current state? High unemployment, inadequate housing, failing schools, children being raised in depressed and decaying urban centers, other quality of life issues. You have a lot of foreclosed homes in neighborhoods, and the residents don't feel that they're being included in the community's decision-making process. And I want to know what you think. Our phone lines are open if you want to respond. 799-1290. And the reason I ask this question kind of dovetails off the education thing that we talked about earlier. Unless we have a more highly educated workforce, it's going to be tough for the city of Milwaukee to compete for tech industry jobs. The fastest growing job sectors in the United States right now are biotech firms, microelectronics, and in the area of healthcare. And those all require a higher level of education, and that's what I'm getting at when I say, do we have a workforce that's prepared to do that? And one of the other questions that has to be answered is from our city officials, and I'm not throwing this all on them because I believe that they only play a role in this, but they're going to have to convince people, entrepreneurs and others, to again reinvest in the city of Milwaukee. And I believe that the success of Milwaukee is possible only with bold, dynamic leadership on issues like excessive regulation, excessive tax burdens on businesses, because that's what I believe is chasing businesses out of the city and making people decide to do business elsewhere. And to date, I'd like for somebody in City Hall to offer a plan, vision that really answers two questions. The first one being, how do we do what we're doing right better? And the second one being, and I think this one is more important, what do we do next? You know, I realize that rebuilding a city is not easy, but if I can offer my opinion here, what I've seen thus far can only be described as overwhelmingly dull. It has been too much business as usual. I mean, again, look at the high unemployment, and I don't have to go too far. And everywhere you go in this city, you know, the talk is, you know, we need jobs, I need work, I can't find work. And it's a national problem. It's almost a worldwide recession. But I challenge anybody to cite an example of a determined commitment to actually make the city succeed and to put people back to work. And maybe I'm missing something, but at the same time, I don't see it. So, you know, what do you believe we need to do? Because if we don't solve this problem of high unemployment in Milwaukee Central City, something that existed even before the current recession hit, Milwaukee will continue to be a drain on the state's limited resources instead of being a contributor and the state's economic engine. We live in a period of rapid change right now, and that's been brought on by the post-industrial age of information. You know, we got a labor force that still seems to be chasing smokestacks, you know, waiting for the manufacturing sector to rebound. The problem with that is that the smokestack has been replaced by the computer, and most work that used to be performed by humans in the manufacturing sector is now being performed by computers and robotics, and that's that trained workforce that we're going to have. We're going to have opportunities for people that will allow them to remake themselves by acquiring new skills and possibly change careers. You know, we have plenty of low-skilled laborers in the city, but the reality is that the United States can and will no longer compete in a global economy for low-skilled jobs. That's just the reality of it. And we hear a lot about construction jobs and, you know, some job sectors like that, but those are limited. Those are limited opportunity, especially in a city like Milwaukee. They're seasonal. That could be an issue if there's no real development going on, not a lot of projects going on. You know, during the winter, what do people do? So, you know, it's countries like China, India, Southeast Asia, and South America, including Mexico, that will always now, moving forward, have more unskilled laborers willing to work for less compensation than workers here in the United States. So, again, rebuilding this workforce, retraining, and allowing people opportunities to acquire new skills and change careers is going to be the key. Because if we don't reinvent the way that we do business, it's going to be real tough. Future generations, and that's why I started out talking about education. You know, I'm talking about the future generations of people, of young people. They're going to have to be more proficient in the things that we're lagging in right now, like math, science, languages, in order to compete for some of those jobs. Things like medicine, things like telecommunications, finance, accounting, consultants, computer operations, and security. Those things are all taking the place of manufacturing job. And if we don't retool this workforce, it's going to be hard for people to compete. It's 5:12 p.m. Sheriff Clark in for Earl Ingram on the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Our phone lines are open. If you want to get in on this, what is the city of Milwaukee going to have to do? Because we can't just rely on the political class for this. And I want to know from you what you think we need to do to better equip this job to compete in the 21st century, the information age. 799-1290. You know, in the 21st century, the new capital, it's not strength anymore. It's knowledge. And Milwaukee needs a long-range comprehensive technology master plan in order to attract tech industries, the things that I talked about, biotech firms, pharmaceuticals, microelectronics. You know, how are we going to attract a Microsoft or some of the aerospace industries to open up camp here and so that we can put people back to work? If we don't answer those questions, this is going to be a long period of drought. Even though there are signs that the economy is improving, those are early signs, and there could be a lag time. It's been described by some that this may be a jobless recovery. So, you know, where does that lead people? Let's go to the phone lines. Carolyn, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Welcome.
Well, hi, Sheriff Clark. I'm in my car driving, and I'm listening, and I think that you are 100% correct as far as I think the day is over with where we're looking for, where we look to our political leaders to help us get out of this. And I think that really the American people are going to have to come up with a plan. I think we have to look at our educational system, make sure that the degree programs at these universities and technical colleges are offering programs that are that are futuristic, because some of the programs that people are going into, you know, the market is already overwhelmed, and I think people need to be very realistic about that. And I think small business will help this recession that we're in now. That's what I see that we need to do, and just you know, take more responsibility of for our future, because everybody is cutting back. Everybody, you know, a lot of people I know are feeling the pinch, and from what the reports that I see on the internet and some of these news show is that there's more to come. So we just have to prepare ourselves and come together as come together and figure this thing out. I don't know. I really don't know. But just look at, I think we have to look at what are the futuristic jobs and apply for those, because the day where, you know, I know people who are, you know, CNAs, and they can't find jobs. And that was a job you could always find. You know, I don't know. I'm going to sit and listen to you and to other callers that may have some suggestions.
All right, and I appreciate your thoughts and your call. Caroline, 799-1290, WMCS, the talk of the town. If you want to get in on this conversation, it's 5:16 p.m. David Clark in for Earl Ingram on the Evening Rush. Last caller touched on a couple things that I think need to be expanded on. You know, the types of jobs that are going to be prevalent once we get out of this recession. But there's other things beyond that. I was reading an article the other day where they anticipate a shortage of doctors over the next 25 years. Now, we obviously know what's involved if you're going to go to medical school. And I know everybody isn't inclined to do that, and those aren't the only jobs that are going to be available. But at the same time, you know, you have to have the ability to anticipate and look at the horizon and say, what is going to be available 10, 15, 20 years from now, not what's going to be available in 2 years or after this recession. And that's where we need to steer our young people. I know Concordia University, my alma mater, opened up a pharmaceutical school. That's one of those biotech fields that is going to expand. And obviously with the issue of healthcare, jobs in the healthcare industry, things in the trades, you know, the trade unions. There's also a study that shows we're going to have a shortage of plumbers over the next 10 years. So, you know, people who aren't inclined to go into, you know, to go on to grad school and post you know, school after college and on and on and on. I mean, the trade schools, you know, what are they doing? And this is all part of this master plan that I talked about that has to be presented so that people know. And then, you know, Caroline talked about self-help. You can't wait around, folks, for some miracle to happen. And forget about reading the paper and all of this stuff about the recession's over and things are getting better and the stock market's up. Those are only a few indicators. Again, the prediction is from some economists this is going to be a jobless recovery. So what are we going to do? Unless the city's prepared to attract tech sector industries And until we get this workforce prepared, I mean, it's going to be tough for our political or our elected officials to go and try to attract a company like Boeing or a company like Microsoft and yet tell them, well, we don't have a whole lot of workers for you, but, you know, we'll get there. No, you have to be able to tell them, our labor force is ready, we're prepared, we can get you X amount of employees right off the bat, right out of the box as these things emerge. And that's what the tech industry want to hear from people when they decide when they're going to set up camp. So again, this chasing smokestacks and waiting for the manufacturing sector. And there'll always be a manufacturing sector, don't get me wrong. At the same time, however, you know, keep in mind what I said. A lot of those, none of this is going to look like it did pre-recession. The manufacturing sector is going to be different. Like I said, a lot of those jobs that were performed by humans are now being performed by, computers and robotics. So, you know, that's kind of what we're talking here. We have a few callers on the line. I want you to hang on because I want to get your thoughts on this. This is important. 799-1290. Is the number. We have a few lines open, and you're listening to Sheriff Clark in for Earl Ingram on the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Stay tuned.
Tune in to TJ Live weekdays from 11 a.m. to noon. Now on Tuesdays, TJ will feature a new segment, Strengthening Fathers and Families, and is brought to you by the Milwaukee Fatherhood Initiative and the Social Development Commission. And this portion of the Evening Rush is being brought to you by Wendy's, and you know when it's real.
Celebrating 30 years of broadcast excellence. Now back to the Evening Rush with Earl Ingram on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
David Clark in for Earl Ingram on the Evening Rush, 5:26 p.m. It's quitting time for a lot of you. Thanks for joining us today. Before the break, we were talking about how do we prepare the city of Milwaukee for the 21st century. How do we turn Milwaukee into the state's economic engine? What do we do to solve this issue of high unemployment that exists not only nationwide, statewide, but in our central city here. Are we investing enough in tech sector jobs? What direction do we need to go? As I indicated before, we seem to be content with chasing smokestacks when, in fact, the smokestack has been replaced by the computer. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tony, thanks for joining us, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Sheriff Clark?
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm Tony Fikes. I all my life I've been trying to do just that, develop something for the city of Milwaukee. My business was basically developed from using welfare mothers, high school dropout, and ex-offenders. Then I used to go out to the House of Correction and talk to all those young strong bodies out there they used to have out there, but I had nothing. But now you're talking things that make sense. We got the workforce. We just don't have the mindset. We got the technology, and we got the place to use that knowledge, such as the city of Milwaukee. Now, the technology I'm talking about is like the green power, the solar power, the wind power. And we got a lot of young fellas out there misguided, need direction, and don't know where to go, and we don't have anything really to offer them to put them in the mindset to do something. And we have now, they're building a job site out there on Green Tree, and I haven't heard much about it or what are they going to use it for, what are they going to put in there. So I'm thinking about if we could take all those entities, put it together, and use the Milwaukee Technical College to teach those young guys for a second chance, that we wouldn't lose them, that they could help build Milwaukee and bring it back, because everything we do now is going to have to be done by putting something together. If you the cars, you know, the new cars, you got to put it together. You got to fix it. You got to tear it apart. You got to put it back together. Solar power, you got to build solar panels and put them on roofs and put the energy into homes. All these are available to us. It's just seeing the vision. And I see it, and I just don't have the money to make it happen. Even when I was running Milwaukee Satellite Industry, I had the vision, but I didn't have the money, and then I didn't have anybody believe that I had the vision. But we lasted 20 years, and we put a lot of people out the street and a lot of people in the workplace so that they wouldn't be out in the street. And my motto was that I want to give them a job to keep them out of my house. That's just the way I felt. So what you're talking about has so much merit, and I appreciate it if you just hang in there and use those young people and give them a second chance to find something that they can do. And that's like the technical, you know, fixing cars, installing solar panels, being plumbers. And if you could train those in the prisons, and when they get out, they have a skill that's marketable that they can go ahead and get a good job. And people won't ask if the pipe is busted. They're not going to ask you whether you got a degree. They say, fix my plumbing, and they'll forget about the fact that you have been incarcerated.
Tony, I want to appreciate and thank you for your comments. Thank you for your effort. Thank you for your input here, because like I said before, we can't sit around waiting for the political class to solve this for us. I think they missed it when this change occurred in our economy. And as you indicated, Tony, we simply have to reinvent the way that we do business. And I want more opportunities that will allow people to remake themselves by acquiring new skills and change careers. Let's go back to the phone lines. Kathy, welcome to 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
Hi, Sheriff Clark, Kathy Harmon. You know me when you see me. You know, one thing I have a problem with, too, a lot of companies in Milwaukee here, and they outsource a lot of work, too, to other states, so that's kind of difficult to tell people here we're going to try to bring jobs in for you when a lot of jobs are outsourced to other entities, and so you don't get the opportunity to work those jobs. And if you do work them, they call you back to work after letting you go. You work for this company. You have no insurance and benefits, so that's kind of a hassle. If you don't have medical insurance, you got to go to work every day. But I work at the county. You do, too. We have our payroll system outsourced to Texas, and we have our computer system outsourced to Texas. So that's not keeping jobs in Wisconsin at all. It's maybe cheaper for them to run it that way, but I'm sure there's plenty of banks and payroll companies here that can do payroll for Milwaukee County. You know what I'm saying? So how can we solve part of that problem? And then we got guys coming in from way out of the state in Wisconsin, but further north or further west of here in Green Bay and further out, doing contract work here with construction, and that doesn't bring a job here for the young men and women in Milwaukee either. And the other one is that with medical and technology, we probably need to introduce that to more of our young kids here, and even the young kids and children in detention, talk with them, find out what their interests are, and kind of tell them what kind of jobs are out there, and see if that's something they wouldn't mind doing themselves. You know, we need to bring it to them. Their parents may not be able to do that. One reason why they're probably in the system, but to bring different jobs to them, explain what kind of jobs they are, what they entail, and see if they're good with their hands, they're good with doing dental technologies, dental plates and moldings and stuff, not just nursing and x-ray techs, but men can do that job too, and it pays well, and it's a stable job.
There's no doubt about that. And,
but, you know, we got to work on not outsourcing work. If you're going to outsource it, outsource it in a state that which we reside in. At least you're keeping the people in your state jobs. We're talking about jobs here, and I know myself, our payroll system and our computer system, portion of that is outsourced. So when you call, it's 150, and they pick up the phone. And if we don't get someone in our location in Milwaukee, it goes to Texas. And the payroll system's in Texas. All these banks and payroll companies, they can't do payroll for our own company, Milwaukee County. I'm just using that as an example because I work there. But I'm saying that we're outsourcing everything. So how are we going to bring jobs here to people if the jobs are all going out of state?
That's one of the questions that has to be answered. I think that particular question by our political class. What policies do we have in place or that we may need to put in place to attract business when you talk about manufacturers, when you talk about businesses, you talk about small businesses and whatnot leaving the city, I have to question things like our tax policy. This excessive tax burden chases businesses out of areas, and they're going to go where they can set up shop without these heavy tax burden. And also regulation, excessive regulation will force businesses out of an area, and they're going to go to some other area, probably another state. You know, you look at the situation that was going on with mercury, where they were threatening to go to Oklahoma because there were lower cost to running a business, so on and so forth. And those things have to be looked at. But again, you know, knowledge has become the new capital of the 21st century. And we can't just look at what exists today. You know, we talk about some of the industries that may rebound, that may bounce back. But what about 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now? Things like telecommunications, medicine, consulting, computer operations, security, accounting, healthcare. And you hit the nail right on the head, Kathy, by saying we need a better educated workforce. So there's a lot of work to do. This can be done. It starts with good leadership, and you know, everybody plays a role here. I'm not going to put all this on the political class, but the role that they play is important, and I wonder if that's being fully met, and then everybody else doing their job, and then the collective energy of all this is what's going to restart the economic engine here in Milwaukee. 5:35, quitting time, as I indicated on Evening Rush. Thank you for joining us, Sheriff David Clark, in for Earl Ingram on the Evening Rush. And we're talking about what it's going to take to kickstart this economic engine here in the city of Milwaukee. And we have a couple callers on hold. If you can wait through the break, I do want to get to them because I'm real big on civic input into many of these issues. 799-1290 is the number if you want to get in on this. And this is 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Bill Handel. If you owe the IRS over $15,000 in back tax...
Celebrating 30 years of broadcast excellence, the Evening Rush on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
David Clark in for Earl Ingram on the Evening Rush. It is 5:41 p.m. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. Before we went to the break, we were talking about how do we prepare Milwaukee for the 21st century? How do we deal with high unemployment? And most specifically, how do we answer two important questions? How do we do a better job of what we're doing right? And then more importantly, what do we do next? Let's go back to the phones. Craig, welcome to 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
Good evening, Sheriff Clark. How are you?
Wonderful, sir. Thanks for asking.
Good. Good to hear a different voice for a change and your perspective. I appreciate it. I wanted to just offer a comment on the entrepreneurial phase, or the that portion of what your question is, in reference to the city and the county and the state. I've been in the process of building a business myself with my brother and a couple of friends in the city here for several years, and we're making progress. Could use some support, but it really, in my personal opinion, and as a business owner, the support mechanisms just aren't here. We've developed a product, have established it in the marketplace, and in all honesty, I don't see that in the Milwaukee area, in the state, that there are mechanisms in place to evaluate business development in our community, and I'm speaking specifically of the Black community. I know that, you know, in the other communities, there are certain, you know, mechanisms when you talk about the chambers of commerce and whatnot that, you know, through that network, they work together to help support business development. But, you know, from an elected, you know, body, whether it be the Common Council or the, you know, the county board or, you know, the state government and that whole Department of Commerce mechanism, that there is nothing there that really can look at a business development, the potential of it, to see if they can create jobs and how they can bring those jobs into our community to help employ people and keep them out of some of the challenges that we face today, whether it be in the industries that you guys have talked about, you know, some traditional manufacturing that would also involve some, you know, highly technical skills and things of that nature, or the new industries that the president and all those, you know, these buzzwords that are out here, the green industries, the bio, and the, you know, all of those types of things. I mean, you know, if we were developing those businesses in our community, how would we even know? There is no mechanism out here for the, you know, the funding sources through the state and the federal government and county and local government to evaluate them and to see if they're viable and to, you know, help support them and build them up.
Craig, and thanks. Thank you for your comments. I got to move along here, but, you know, I will comment on a couple of things you said because you had some great insight. First of all, hang in there. You know, grind it out. There's no magic bullet. There's no one thing that's going to turn this thing around. One of the things you're talking about is venture capital. When you talked about needing help and a way to gauge, you know, what should be invested in by what's going on out there, who has some good things going, you know, you need venture capital to support those things. And for the political class that's listening, and I know they're listening tonight, you're hearing right from the people as to what they want to see more of. They want to see more vision. They want to see more planning. They want to see better communication about what's happening on the political end. And they're not looking for, you know, the political class to, you know, completely run with the ball by themselves. But that's the foundation that's needed. And then, you know, a lot of the spirit, a lot of the hard work, that's got to come from, you know, the community itself, people, individuals themselves. But, you know, what I'm hearing tonight, I hear a lot of that, you know, where's the vision and where's the plan, where's the energy, where's the collective effort, and who's leading this thing? You know, I started out by saying the successful city of the future will have leadership that anticipates change. And that can harness that change positively. So, you know, I know it's going to be tough, but, you know, I'm hoping that the community stays active, stays engaged, continue to keep the pressure on as to what you want to see. And if we grind this thing out together, there's no doubt in my mind we can get this economic engine started, but we're not going to get it started thinking it's just going to start itself. It's 5:46 p.m. on the Evening Rush. Sheriff Clark in for Earl Ingram. And Kira is going to prepare us for our descent and landing as I fly solo tonight. And I want to end by talking about something that's extremely important. And it's Barack Obama, President Barack Obama's speech to the nation tonight on his plan, his vision for the way forward in the war in Afghanistan. And it's probably the second or maybe the third major decision that he will be making as commander-in-chief. These are the things that keep presidents up at night. Anytime you send people off, people's sons, daughters, husbands, wives, sisters and brothers off to defend freedom and put themselves in harm's way, defending that freedom overseas, presidents struggle with that, and President Obama's not finding this any different than any other person who has sat in that seat as commander-in-chief. And if you recall, during the campaign, President Obama indicated that in Afghanistan, I mean, that he supported the war in Afghanistan that was going on at the time, And, you know, he said, and as a quote, I was a strong supporter of the war in Afghanistan. He's called this the war of necessity, the war that we need to win. So he gets it from that standpoint. And his first major decision was replacing the commander, and he put General McChrystal in charge and then directed him to come up with a plan to move this thing forward. It seemed to be mired for a while, and it lost popular support a long time ago. That's a tough thing for the president right now. How does he reignite public support for what we're trying to do, defeat terrorism? I mean, that's the goal. That's why we're there. I think everybody understands why, but they want to know how long it's going to take. They're looking at the money this is costing. And McChrystal made a recommendation that he wanted to see a troop surge of anywhere from 30 to 40,000 troops. And it sounds, the president will lay it out tonight, that he's going to go along with about 30,000 additional troops, and it's going to happen at a fast pace. Now, the price tag on this is going to be expensive. We're talking $30 to $40 billion a year, and the president indicated, and he'll, like I said, he'll draw it out tonight, or he'll draw it up tonight. We may be there for a couple of years. He knows this isn't going to happen overnight. He's getting some resistance from people within his own party, people on Capitol Hill. David Obie from the state of Wisconsin has said that this war cannot be won. He does not want to see any more additional resources put in. Nancy Pelosi has indicated the same thing, as have some other leading Democrats on Capitol Hill. But again, they're not the commander-in-chief. President Barack Obama is. It's his decision alone. And who knows what's going to happen, but we're going to hear about it tonight. And I want to know what you think. Do you support President Obama and his decision to send additional troops and honor General McChrystal's request for additional troops? Do you agree with the strategy? How long should we stay there? Anything else you might want to add as it relates to the war in Afghanistan? 799-1290, if you want to comment on this. This is Sheriff Clark. In for Earl Ingram on the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Let's go to the phones. Jerry, your comment, please. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
How are you, sir?
Fantastic.
I called briefly to say that good programming tonight. You know, we're not monolithic, and it's just great to hear a different kind of perspective.
Thank you,
sir. And, the community needs it. Because, again, we're not monolithic, and I totally agree with you in regards to education. I think that's the key to the success of our community. Without it, we're deceiving ourselves. And I've been on this planet for over 50 years, and that has not changed, and it will not change. And so education is key. With parental involvement is also key. And with education, we vote better. You know, we make better decisions for ourselves. We have better government. We're able to approach issues intellectually more than just emotionally. And we become good citizens, you know. And the jobs will come, you know. If there's a good, solid educational base here, that will demand that jobs will come. If
okay.
There's no jobs in America.
Jerry, what do you think about the president's plan, President Barack Obama, the commander-in-chief, to send an additional 35,000 troops to Afghanistan to fight this war on terror? Sounds like we're going to be in it for the long haul now. Do you support what he wants to do in Afghanistan?
Well, I'm speaking to you as a veteran. And as a,
thank you for your service, sir.
And also my brother served, who got lost in Vietnam. And I just, in a nutshell, I don't agree with it. I think it's a different kind of war. There's no front line. There's no uniforms. It's been tried over the past thousands of years in Afghanistan to straighten things out. There's no central government there. It's a very corrupt culture. And I just hate seeing the military going over there to try to solve this problem. I don't think it'll be solved militarily, at least with us.
You know, there are a lot of people that share that sentiment, and that's one of the tough things about this. You know, war is never easy. Is there an exit strategy? What are the goals? That's the tough position that President Obama is in right now. And like I said, it is an uphill climb with this decision
and,
that he's making.
Thing, there's no front line. There's no front line. There are men who don't wear uniforms, men primarily in that region who don't wear uniforms.
Right. It's not a conventional war, as you indicated.
Exactly. It's a very, very different war. And for us to spend time, effort, and bodies, in my humble opinion, I don't think that's the way to go. I just really don't.
And I respect that opinion. A lot of people, like I said, feel that way. This thing has been tearing this nation apart and will continue to do that. Personally, I support his decision. He understands that one of his most important jobs is to protect the American people. This war on terror is not easy. There are no easy decisions, but I support our commander-in-chief and the president on his decision to honor the request. Like I said, you know, it's a best guess sometimes, but General McChrystal, who's running this this war, needs additional troops, and President Obama is going to accommodate along with, you know, he'll lay out the plan moving forward. It's time to wrap it up. Kira has indicated that we're approaching landing here. I enjoyed it, and enjoyed the insights of the callers tonight. I'll look forward to my opportunity to do this again. And like I said, thank you for joining us. Kira, you did a wonderful job as an air traffic. You know, I think we need air traffic controllers, by the way. So if you need a reference, I'll say, hey, she got me to cruising altitude and brought me home safely. So stay tuned for Phil Anderson's Blues After Dark. Good night, everyone.